This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. We continue our conversation now with Carol Platt-Liebau, author of Prude, How the Sex-Obsessed Culture Damages Girls and America Too. Prior to the break, Carol was talking about the incessant pressure placed on young people, especially girls, to engage in sexual activity long before they're ready. Now we pick up the conversation as I ask Carol what the most effective ways are to communicate to teens that they don't have to give in to the pressure.
The problem is, of course, as all of us know, young people think they're invincible. And so trying to just frighten them with bad outcomes really isn't enough to do the job in helping them shape the kind of convictions that will keep them from making the kind of mistakes sexually that can end up ruining their lives or at least their psyches and their self-esteem. What I found in writing the book, and I was really interested, is it seemed as though the most effective approach for young people was to give them sort of a higher reason not to have sex, just aside from these sort of negative consequences that could happen. The idea being that you try and give them a vision of what waiting means, and why it makes sense in a higher way to wait to have a relationship with someone who is loving and committed. Second of all, to help instill the sort of strengths of character that let people live out that choice, things like good judgment, self-control, sexual modesty, courage to resist peer pressure, and then finally, some kind of support network, whether it's within the family or at school or at church, along with, interestingly enough, Greg, one friend who has also made the decision to wait seems to be key.
Well, let's follow up on some of these other things now. Carol, one of the things that we talked about, of course, in the beginning of our conversation was the bombardment of images. And, of course, sex in those images is glamorized, but there's almost never any discussion of the repercussions or damaging effects of casual sex. In the book, you discuss the impact of this immersion in the culture, both for young girls and for the nation as a whole. Starting with the teenagers, what are the most harmful effects many of them are dealing with that they're not told about until after the fact?
Well, for example, you have things like regret and apathy, shame, heartbreak, and studies have shown that among girls 14 to 17, sexually active girls are fully three times as likely to be depressed as those who aren't sexually active. And in a poll that was done by the National Campaign to Prevent Teen Pregnancy found that of girls who had had sex, fully 69% of girls within the ages of 13 to 17 say they wish they had waited longer, that they regret what they did. And another survey found that 59% of teens would feel guilty about having sex, according to Gallup poll, even though some of them are choosing to do it anyway.
That's not just how it impacts the teenagers themselves, but also the nation as a whole. Explain that a little bit.
In a free society, as the founding fathers understood, we needed different kinds of social controls that would help restrain everyone's appetites and allow us all to live peacefully together without descending into chaos. And some of those sort of informal social functions were performed, for example, by religious faith or social stigma, or things other than the heavy hand of government coercion. And so when you have these different forces that really work at telling people, if it feels good, do it, if it feels good, do it, the ironic result is that as people become, in a sense, more sexually liberated, they become, in another way, less free. Because you tell all these young girls that their sexuality is a matter for them and them alone, but that's really not the case. I mean, you know, parents or clergy or schools can sort of give up their traditional function of helping guide people, but then what that means is that you're going to have more public health government involved when STDs rise or become more rampant. You're going to have the justice system getting more involved to force deadbeat dads, you know, some of these young men, not all, of course, but some, who aren't paying child support, or to take care of the children of these mothers who had them when they were 17 or younger, who have a much higher likelihood of going to jail. Or the social services have to get involved in the most intimate details of people's lives if you end up with abused and neglected children, which children of the teen mothers are more likely to be, and even just to help take care of them, because, of course, as we all know, a lot of these young girls who have babies really aren't economically equipped to take care of them. And, in fact, 75% of unmarried teen mothers go on welfare within 5 years of having their first child. So sexual liberation and the extent that the culture tells people if it feels good, do it. Superficially, it may seem as though people are more sort of free to be you and me, but what it actually means in the end is you have to have a much bigger, more intrusive, more coercive government to compel the kinds of behaviors that used to be sort of encouraged by religion or even a social consensus that it was wrong to go ahead and just have babies out of wedlock.
Final question, Carol, because unfortunately we're just about out of time, but just a moment ago you talked about some of the steps that are necessary to build confidence and encourage young people, especially young girls, to make the right decisions. One short excerpt of the book I think is one area where you focus on this extensively, and it's called The Power of Virginity. Explain that.
Well, you know, in a sense, I guess the upshot is that the power of virginity is the fact that you are refusing to play this whole game of giving yourself to people who really don't care about you, that you're sort of making a statement that you're worth waiting for, and that when you bestow your sexual favors or you give that part of yourself, it's going to be to someone who loves you and who has made a commitment to stand by you, rather than someone who may just be using you for sexual pleasure. And the only way to kind of get out of the whole catch-22, this idea that girls are trying to have sex when what they really want is a relationship, but ironically just going ahead and having sex in the beginning makes it more difficult to cultivate the kind of communication and intimacy that leads to a real relationship. The only real way out of that catch-22 is by making the decision to wait for the right person at the right time, when one is mature enough to understand and to be able to handle the psychological, the emotional ramifications of having sex, as well as the physical part, and when you know that your partner is someone who is committed to you and truly loves you.
Carol, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you very much for your time today.
Well, it's been a pleasure, as always, to be with you, Greg. Thanks so much.
My guest has been Carol Platt-Liebau. Her new book is Prude, How the Sex-Obsessed Culture Damages Girls and America, Too. Coming up next in this edition of Dateline Washington, an important new look at how well the various states in this country are engaging in the fight against cancer. We'll talk with the president of the American Cancer Society's Cancer Action Network when we come back.